I have read to you from the Word of God found in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 through 6. And I'm going to be focusing our attention today on the study of God's Word from verse number 3. That's page 863 in the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. 863. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. And I read that verse again in your hearing now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. May God sanctify His Word to our hearts and His glory. Would you join with me again in a word of prayer? Our dear Heavenly Father, I bow, O Lord, before You, confessing my great need of You, Lord, realizing that all the years that I've tried to preach are all in vain for this moment in time, unless Your Holy Spirit gives me liberty to preach. And I confess it openly, and I confess it publicly before Thy people. I realize the truthfulness of the words of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, when He said, without Me, ye can do nothing. And I know that, Lord. I've learned that over the years. But I also know, Lord, and I've also learned, by Your blessings, by Your power, by Your Spirit, by Your grace, Thy people are lifted up into heavenly places and made to rejoice together in Christ our Lord and Savior and in our loving Heavenly Father. And I'm asking, Lord, as I preach to others, I now obey Thy word myself to say, give, O Lord, Thy Holy Spirit to come today in this Thy house to this Thy dear people who have gathered. And tune our hearts, O Lord, to receive Thy holy word. Lord, give me preaching grace. I've failed it many times, and I thank You for every time that I have. It's blessed my heart, but I need it again. The other times, Lord, cannot meet the needs of this moment and this hour. Help me once more. Bless me with liberty. And bless Thy people with liberty in their hearts to hear and understand it, and for it to have meaning for all of us and to all of us, that as we share it with others, Lord, it will renown to Thy glory and honor. Continue Thy mercies to each and every one of us. Bless us in Thy service. Bless us in Thy church. Use us, Lord, for Your glory and the glory of Jesus. We realize, Lord, we're living in a troubled world, and there are things that are often transpiring that trouble us, and yet we're helpless to do anything about them except we come to Thee, O Lord, to pray and ask You to bless those in need wherever they may be today. Some on foreign soil, Thy children, in foreign distant places, we don't even know them, but in heaven's glory we will. But wherever there's a need, bless Your dear people. And bless us here now. In mercy and grace, forgive our sins. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. And amen. The title I've given my sermon this morning is Spiritual Blessings. Notice that Paul mentions them in this third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, not part of them, but all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, by way of beginning my sermon today, I want to kind of give you an illustration that I hope will drive home what I'm going to be telling you a little later. I read of an incident that happened many, many years ago. I don't recall of having heard of it at the time, but it is recorded, and I read of it. And there's the story of a young man who had come to America, a well-educated man, had thrown his life away, became an alcoholic, and lived on Skid Row in Chicago, Illinois. His father was a great shipbuilder in England, a wealthy man by all standards. And when his father died, this young man, his son, living in America on Skid Row, was left half of the estate of his father, and the total estate value of his father was $8 million, if I'm remembering correctly. And the boy would have, boy inherited, he inherited $4 million. They looked for him. They couldn't find him. They even went on Skid Row and searched for him, but they couldn't find him. And eventually, they did, in the cold winter in Chicago. He was drunk, apparently, and got in a doorway to sleep through the night and died in the night. And here's what I want you to get. He never knew how rich he was. You see, brothers and sisters, that's why I believe God's put on my heart today to talk to you about spiritual blessings. Because I'm afraid that sometimes God's children may not realize how rich we really are. We do not just have natural temporal blessings in our riches. We have spiritual blessings as a part of our riches. If I were to say to a person, just walk up on the street and say, what's some of your greatest blessings? Name three of your greatest blessings in your life. Very likely one of them would be my children or my grandchildren. And probably a great many would say my husband or my wife. And those are great blessings, aren't they? To have loving people in our family that our lives are inseparably linked to, that's a great blessing, folks. And those are among some of the great blessings. But what about good health? Isn't that a great blessing of the Lord? What about a good job? What about a comfortable home on these cold winter nights? Isn't it nice to have a good, warm, comfortable home? Good, comfortable church building in which to come and worship the Lord. You see, if we begin to try to count our blessings and enumerate all the wonderful things God's bestowed upon us, probably most of the time we would say something along the lines of what I've just said. And yet those things have not addressed the issue of spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings are by far our greater blessings. They are the greater wealth, the greater spiritual wealth that we possess, or is to be found in spiritual blessings more so than even the temporal blessings. You see, brothers and sisters, according to God's Word, there's two parts of us. That is, of every saved person. There's two parts of us. There's the natural body. But there's also that spiritual soul that lives within us. And you understand that to be true. Jesus said it like this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In John 3 and verse 6, when he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus couldn't understand the new birth, and Jesus talked to him along those lines. And so he explained it to him. There's a fleshly part of us, and our old body wears with age and years, and disease and sickness take hold of it from time to time. That's our fleshly part of us. But we all know, because we've had loved ones who left us, and we know one day when the Lord calls us home, that our soul is going to leave our body. Our body will be left behind. So see, there is the natural part of us. But there is that inner spiritual part of us. And that's why Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I've seen that so many times in my life and my ministry. I've watched us grow older and older. I've seen people that I knew when they were children. I've watched them grow older in their life. But I tell you, I've seen some that were as old as me when we were young, and they're a lot. We're all getting old now. And many of my classmates are dying out. We lost one this past week. And the point is that as we're getting older, we recognize that the outward man is perishing. It is slowly wearing away. But the inner man, the soul that lives within us, that leaves this body and goes to be with God in paradise above, that never gets old. The spiritual part of us never gets old. It may have a hard time living in this old body, but it never gets old. It's forever young. And then he closes that chapter by saying, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I can't see your soul, but your soul is eternal. I can see your body, but your body is temporal, which means it's temporary. It abides for a while, but the soul goes on forever. And praise God, one day He'll raise our body and change it where it's a spiritual body, and it can live in heaven with us, with Him forever. So you see, there are natural blessings. And those natural blessings benefit our bodies, our natural being. But thank God there are spiritual blessings that benefit our soul, our inner man. And it is these kinds of spiritual blessings that God has inspired the Apostle Paul to write about and to enumerate. So when he has blessed the name of God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. When he has said that, if you still have your Bibles open, you're going to notice three very special spiritual blessings God has given to us. The first spiritual blessing that he mentions is in verse 4. And it reads thusly, according as He, that is God, the Father, hath chosen us in Him, which has reference to Christ, the Son, before the foundation of the world, that we, God's children, should be holy, set apart unto God, and without blame before Him in love. That means our sins have been taken away. Before the foundation of the world was ever laid, God chose us. That's a spiritual blessing. It's priceless. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, the first thing they did to build this church house, they put a foundation down. And then they built on it. But before God ever laid the foundation to create this great and marvelous world, before God ever did that, God chose us back somewhere in eternity past, somewhere too far that our minds can't really fathom it all. But He chose us. God the Father chose us in Christ. He looked into time to come, and He knew we would live. He knows all things. The Bible says He declares the end from the beginning. God knows everything. Nothing takes Him by surprise. And He knew we would live. And He chose out of all Adam's fallen race, because He knew man would fall into sin and into depravity and would within ourselves forever be separated from God. And God, knowing all that, He made a covenant of redemption with Christ our Lord. And so we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And the only way is in God's amazing grace through Christ our Lord. And that's the only way, is because God chose us. Listen, when He chose us, He wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'll tell you, when heaven comes, everyone whose name is written there is going to be in heaven's glory without the loss of a single one. I believe that with all my heart. God chose us. You say, well, that's a strange thing. God choosing us. Thought we had to choose God. Well, no, really. It's God choosing us that's most important. Yes, we are to choose to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, Joshua said, Joshua 24:15, that to encourage us to choose to say, well, I can serve this old God in the world, or I can serve my boss, or I can serve my family, or I can serve myself, or I can serve God. Choose whom you will serve this day. We're here to serve. We chose to serve the Lord today, didn't we? We're here. Choose you this day. But what is so lastingly important is not this little brief time in our life where we may engage in the service of God. That's temporary. It's just a brief moment in time. But what God did in choosing us, making us His very elect, is that in the covenant with Christ, is that He would die for us and save us, and we would forever be in heaven's glory with Him. That is one of the greatest spiritual blessings that we can have. It's priceless. It is eternal. It began back there. It is now. But it will go on into the distant eternity to come. I can tell you this. It's not a strange thing that God would choose us. You know, back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, God said to the nation of Israel, thou art a holy people to the Lord thy God. Listen, God said this. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people to Himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. God chose the Jewish nation to be His special people, didn't He? You read the Old Testament. You're going to read primarily about God dealing with the Jews. God chose them as a nation. When Jesus lived and walked on this earth with, as God manifested in the flesh, He called and chose His disciples. They didn't choose Him. He chose them. Think about it. John chapter 15, I believe it is, verse 16, He said, you have not chosen me, talking to His disciples. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that whatsoever you do, the Lord will then bless. See, Christ said, I've chosen you. So, the fact that God chose a nation, the fact that Christ on the earth would choose His disciples, kind of opens the door for us to begin to think, God chose me too, according to His Word. Now, that's hard for me to understand. I'll be honest. Sometimes I don't know how my wife loves me, much less God loving me. I'm such a fallible human being. I make so many mistakes. And yet, though I am a sinner, I'll tell you, I believe God loves me. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe God loves you? Loves you with an everlasting love, He said in Jeremiah 31:3. And it's so good to know that God loved me. I'm not lovable, but God loved me. And He loved me enough to choose me to be His own and put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and give His Son for me. That's a spiritual blessing. That is of eternal significance. Number two, blessing number two. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now there's that word predestination. And I beg of you, please don't turn me off now. And don't leave me on that. There are people in the world that don't want to hear about it. I've encountered some over the years. There are people who just don't talk about predestination. Now, do you know why? And I'm convinced of this. I really do. I believe this. I may be as wrong as any man can ever be, but I believe it. The only reason people would dislike predestination is they have believed the devil's lie. The devil lied to you. Do you know that? He was a liar from the beginning. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 8:44? He's the father of a lie. He told the first lie I ever told. And when things in the Bible don't seem to be good to us, it's probably because somebody's told us the devil's lie. And if we believe the devil's lie, we won't believe in predestination. Because I'll tell you,
Predestination honors God Almighty. And the devil doesn't want anything believed and held in the heart that honors God, because the devil's a great enemy of God. He doesn't want to honor God. So he'll kind of bend it. The Bible, Paul, Peter was talked about resting or twisting it to their own destruction. The devil will do that. Now here's what I mean by that. I had a man many years ago when I was a young minister. He was coming to the church that I endeavored to pastor because he was courting a young lady there. That'll get a young man in church sometime from nothing else will. So the case with him, he was coming with her. And I mentioned apparently predestination that day. And when we went out, he told me, he said, "Well, I just don't agree with you, Primitive Baptist." I said, "What don't you agree with?" He didn't agree with predestination. And here's why. Do you know what he believed about predestination? And this is what I call the devil's lie. He believed that every evil, ugly thing that happens in this world, God predestinated it, just like all the good and wonderful things that happen in this world. But let me tell you something. If you carefully study the Word of God, you will find that predestination doesn't have to deal with things. It deals with people. You and me. And God's multitude of children upon the earth. It deals with people. Whom He did predestinate. Not what He did predestinate. That's biblical language. And so predestination is a wonderful truth. And I want to show you why today. God willing and God blessing. Notice here it says, He predestinated us. God did. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now, this is a beautiful thing. Before I get into predestination, let me just slide this in for what it's worth. We're predestinated to be adopted into the family of God through Christ. Christ adopts us. Okay, that's what it's telling us. Predestinated to be adopted by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, adoption in biblical times was quite different than our time. You can adopt a child today if you're qualified and they deem you worthy to do so. But you're never held in our day and time, as far as I know, and I've never heard of any exception to this, you're never held responsible for what debts might have belonged to the family from which the child was adopted. But in ancient times, you would. In ancient times, it was not uncommon for a man to sell himself and his family, his children in particular sometime, to work for someone in order to be able to have what he needed. And he would put himself in debt to that person, and they would become a kind of a slave, so to speak, to him, a servant. And they had to work it off. And if he had his children involved in it, and he died, then if somebody adopted one of those children, they had to pay off the debt that child had against him. You follow me? Isn't that what Jesus did when He went to the old rugged cross? Didn't He pay your debt and mine? Isn't that how He died for us? Why He died for us? To adopt us, He had to pay all the debts against us. He had to cleanse us by His shed blood. He had to wash us. That's why we talk about being washed in the blood of the Lamb. He paid our debts. See, that's why I say, when you understand what predestination is about, we're predestinated to be adopted by Jesus. And I'm not talking about some king adopting us who has the fortune of a company or an empire. I'm talking about somebody bigger and greater than some king. I'm talking about being adopted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who has adopted us. Predestinated to be adopted by Jesus. Aren't you thankful for predestination? But look over here in the 11th verse. There's a little clue again about predestination. This same first chapter, 11th verse. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Predestinated to an inheritance. Now, The Bible in Romans 8:14 talks about, I believe it's, maybe it's, no, it, I'm sorry, it's verse 17. That we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And so when we're adopted by Jesus into the family of God, you say, well, we're born again, aren't we? Yes, but we've been adopted by Christ into His family. So He paid all our debts, and we're adopted by Him. And because we're adopted by Him, you know the positive side of that? He not only paid all our debt, but we are a joint heir with Jesus, which means He shares all that He has, which means heaven's glory forever and ever is ours to enjoy. That's our inheritance, because we've been adopted into the family of Jesus. And we'll tell you one other thing, and I've got to move on then. We are, because of predestination, going to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Oh, I can't dislike that, can you? I cannot. I'm so looking forward to that. I am so short of that in this time world. I'm looking forward to the day when I'm like Him. And I'll tell you scripture, Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." And that's the 30th verse. But you see, we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus. I'm not going to have that here. But I'll tell you, in heaven I will. I'll be as pure as He is. All effects of sin, all its tainting will be put away. Predestinated to be adopted by Jesus Christ Himself. That's a spiritual blessing, my friends. Number three, look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Saved by grace. You ever heard that? By grace ye are saved. And by grace are ye saved. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Look at this. Wherein, that is in the grace, He, God the Father, hath made us, God's elect, accepted in the Beloved, who is Jesus. I hear a lot of people talk about accepting Christ. But let me tell you something. I'm thankful to God that God has accepted us in Christ. To me, that is far, far more important than for us to mentally in our minds or our hearts to say that we would accept Him, or for anyone to say that. Because really, what we do is not going to get us into heaven. Think about it. It's what God has done for us through Christ. And this is the spiritual blessings I'm talking about. What is it that Christ did in His grace? What is it that He has done that has made God our Father accept us, sinners, depraved human beings? What is it that He did that made us accepted to God in Christ? You know, even when you pray, you can't pray in your name. Did you know that? You can't pray in your mom and daddy's name. You can't even pray in your preacher's name. The only name you can pray in that amounts to anything with God our Father is for you to pray in the name of Jesus. That's how we talk to pray. And when we pray in His name, because we come in His righteousness, the Father accepts us in the Beloved. What is His grace about? It's about what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. That's a great part of it. In fact, in Romans 4:25, the last verse of that fourth chapter, He, Jesus, was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. What do you mean He was delivered? He was delivered into the hands of men who mistreated Him, who beat Him, who slapped Him, who put a crown of thorns on His head, who beat His back, and who at last nailed him to the old rugged cross. He was delivered into their hand. He allowed it to happen because he loved us so much. You ever see this? Jesus loved us that much. That reminds you of the cross and Christ nailed to it. He was delivered for our offenses. Why? Because he didn't have any sins. He had to die for our sins because he didn't have any of his own. But then he was buried and he rose again the third day. And you know what? He was delivered from the grave for our offenses. Delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. You know what the word justification means? It seems very complicated, but from what I can understand, it simply means God the Father treats us just as if we had never sinned. Because? Why? Because when Christ died for our sins, he took them all away. Who in his own self, Peter said in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead, listen, not dead in sin anymore, but dead to sin, should live in his righteousness. See, Jesus on the cross, he took all our sins and the sins of all God's people who've ever lived and whoever will live. He took our sins upon his body and died for them. Because why? The wages of sin is death. And it was from the very beginning. God said to Adam, in the day you eat thereof, this forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. He ate of it. He died and was cut off from God. Separated from God. He died. And later died physical death, which he never would have had to die had he not sinned. But sin brings death, and thus Jesus died for our sins. But when he took our sins, let me tell you, he imputed to us, that is, he took from himself and gave to us his righteousness. And that's how we truly are righteous before God our Father. So Paul could say, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's why Paul wanted the Corinthian saints to know about Jesus. Here it is. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's a spiritual blessing. That is an eternal blessing. Now, as I close my sermon, brothers and sisters, I simply ask the question, what now? Well, we've been saved by grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb, born of the Spirit of God. If you'll notice sometime that next verse, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's where we are today. Yes, that's our situation as we stand in God's amazing grace. Here's what I believe we ought to be concerned about as we go from this place today. The psalmist David said it a long time ago. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You notice the first word of the verses I read was blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To bless the name of God, to bless God. And that's what the psalmist said. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Listen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I want to remember God's blessings. We all ought to want to do that. I want to remember that God's good to me. Sometimes I forget that, and I begin to grumble and complain. But I need to remember that God is good to me. He's given me a good wife, good children, good grandchildren, a good loving mother that's still with us at 94. Brothers and sisters in the flesh and in Christ. And I am standing before you today as a blessed man. But above all those blessings is that God would choose me, predestinate me, and save me through his Son, Jesus Christ. Those are spiritual blessings, priceless, eternal. They make the difference for all eternity. And I'm glad today that I can stand before you and God and proclaim the spiritual blessings to say, let us remember these blessings along with the others. And then one New Testament verse. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. God has called us out of nature's darkness when we were born again into the marvelous light of God, Jesus, the light of the world. And so we're to praise Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. May we try to do that every day we live and breathe God's air and live the life God has given us in the world that God has made. Let us try to glorify and honor and praise Him because of these spiritual blessings He has given to us, is my prayer.